And welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, host of the program, also a homeschool father of five. We're raising our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. And we broadcast from my basement here with a lot of help from the mentors and Daniel, my son, also in studio with us right now. Well, ladies and gentlemen, today we want to talk again about homeschooling and what's happening with homeschooling here in America and around the world. And with me to talk about this is one of the premier leaders in the homeschooling movement today, Kay Hiramine. Is with me. Kay and Julie, by the way, are international ambassadors for the Alliance of Christian Home Educators Leadership, and they also have their own ministry called Generations of Virtue Ministry. Kay is the director of the Humanitarian International Services Group, but most importantly, he's the husband of Julie and the father of five daughters. Hey, welcome back to the program, Kay.
Kevin, it is wonderful to be back on the program.
Yeah, and Kay, you know, you have been part of this thing for quite some time. Why don't you give us some history as to how you guys got into homeschooling at the beginning?
Yeah, well, what happened was we live here in Colorado Springs, and we lived in a district that had great schools. Mm-hmm. But our oldest, who is now 17, 12 years ago, came home from kindergarten, and you know, she asked us a question that we thought was totally inappropriate for a five-year-old.
Okay.
And we said, you know what? You know, maybe the Lord is calling us to try homeschooling.
Yeah.
And Julie and I, as we looked at each other, we went, oh my gosh. You know, the commitment, the time and everything. And we said, Lord, so we took it to prayer and God led us into homeschooling, through coming to, here in Colorado and then also at New York State Leah's convention.
Yeah.
And we became friends with you and others, the leaders in the community, and we just became so excited we started homeschooling all five of our daughters.
Kay, has your perspective of homeschooling changed over 12 years? I mean, you first started, you know, you just got, well, maybe this will be better than whatever's going on in the public schools. What's your perspective today?
Well, my perspective is I'm a total advocate. You know, I've totally drank the Kool-Aid for homeschooling. in that I have seen not only holistically, them academically and from a scholar standpoint, totally transcend, I think, what the public school system offers. But more importantly, the spiritual aspect, that they become committed to Jesus Christ, that they understand the faith, the tenets of the faith, their worldviews are solidified. And most importantly, I think it creates an atmosphere and an environment in which the parents are actively involved in home education.
You know, there's something relationally that happens within a lot of homeschool. I'm not saying every single homeschool is the same, but I'm just saying, in general, it seems to me that homeschool children can be very warm, very relational, very connected to their own parents, and very open to discussions with others as well, and developing relationships with others in a proper way. Homeschooling can bring a very, very nice, warm, relational sort of approach to life in a rather cold, institutionalized world.
Absolutely. You know, where life becomes so compartmentalized and segmented, I believe that homeschool education, what that does is it creates an environment in which the parents are actually transformed and changed more to be like Jesus, more to be like engaged within the parenting and creates, in fact, forces in some ways, in a good way, the environment that makes the parents change to create you know, models by which they're engaging the kids more. Because, you know, it's so easy for to see public school system as such that it's kind of like a babysitting service between, you know, 8 and 5 in the afternoon. It's not supposed to be that way at all. It's not what it's created to be. Home education is all about discipleship. It's about discipling them not only in their scholarly activities, but more importantly, in their Christian formation.
You know, and homeschooling plays a really interesting role in your home because you guys are one of the busiest families in the whole wide world. I can't believe how much you guys get done in life. And yet at the same time, you're integrating this home education with your daughters all along the way. How do you do that?
Well, number one, it really is by the grace of God. I mean, when Julie and I began to engage in home education, we began to realize that there was some needs within our own personal, but then also in families that we were, you know, in relationship and engaged with as well. Don't home educate within just a vacuum. You have support groups. You're in relationships with others that are homeschooling as well. So we began to see the need for purity and holiness as a sexual purity. You know, our society is totally being bombarded by promiscuity, and it's getting worse and worse. Internet, now invades our homes, literally.
Yeah.
You got PDA systems and phone systems in which kids can start sexting and other things like that, which is terrible. So what we've done is we've said, Julie really had the vision for it. Originally, she came to me and she said, you know, Kay, I'm thinking about starting a part-time ministry. You know how that goes.
Yeah,
you got
right.
Part-time, right?
Right.
Well, it becomes full-time very quickly. And the Lord gave us so much favor with the homeschool conferences and friends and churches that had a real vision for purity and holiness. Mm-hmm. And so we began to equip them with tools and resources. In fact, I just wanted to share something that's really exciting is Julie is just coming out with a leader guide as well as a participant guide called Culture Shift that's going to be published by Standard Publishing coming out in September. And it's for conferences, it's for Sunday school groups, it's for youth groups, it's for camps even, that people can take these guides. And also, one vision we both have is for families as well, that they can do it together. So leader guides for the parents and then the participant guides or student guides for the kids.
Yeah, and I think a point you made is very important, Kay. What we see today is cultural influences and cultural corruption that is far, far more significant than it was, say, 20, 30 years ago. I mean, you talk about access to pornography and that sort of thing. The web is right there all the time. Wasn't there in the 1800s. Wasn't there in the 1900s. Wasn't there in the 1980s. Wasn't there in the 1990s. Wasn't there 15 years ago. It's there now, and it's all over the place. And unless parents really intentionally, intensively say, we are going to disciple these children. In the process, we're going to protect them and make sure that they don't have all this access to all these cultural influences that's going to pervert their way of thinking, their way of life. Unless they do that, forget about it. Forget about it.
It has to be with a mindset of the parent. It has to be intentional engagement in discipleship of their child.
Yeah.
It cannot be kind of haphazard. It cannot be, oh, well, I'll come up with it when it becomes an issue. And part of the philosophy we have at Generation of Virtue is we do it from the very, you know, at the early ages, from like 3 years on it.
Yeah.
So wherever it's age appropriate, we have different resources and things that we do to just engage the parents themselves. And just to your point about it being so all over the place. You know, we travel to 30 to 40 nations a year. Every year we go on a 9 to 10 week missions trip with our whole team, and our whole family goes with us, so they get a cross-cultural experience where we go to Indonesia, Singapore, Thailand, Philippines, Hong Kong, Malaysia, and we show them and we engage with not only homeschool groups over there, but also with church groups. And you know what? Their problem is just as bad, yeah, if not worse,
yeah,
than here in the United States.
Yeah.
In other words, it's international. Whatever we talk about in the basement out here in Elbert County, Colorado, is affecting everybody all over the place, thanks to technology, thanks to these horrible worldviews that have been foisted upon nations all over the world. And we have a message that rings and rings well. We're going to talk a little bit more about the message that Kay Hiramina and his wife Julie are taking around the world, friends, in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Stay with us.
Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org.
And welcome back to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. And I have served as director for Christian Home Educators of Colorado now myself for some 12 years. Been part of the homeschooling movement for, well, since my mother was homeschooling me in Portland, Oregon in 1967. So what does that mean? Some 40 years or something. But with me is Kay Hiramine, who is a international director for the Alliance of Home Education Leaders in America. And he has been around the world to represent home education with his family, his wife Julie, and five children. Hey, Kay, welcome back. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on internationally. If you have been over the border, I've been to 2 to 3 countries, but you've been all over the place. What's happened in the last 10, 15 years in this area of homeschooling?
Well, it's interesting to see the evolution of how homeschooling has progressed around the world in different parts of the world. Certain curriculum providers have set up different kinds of business relationships with families that home educate in different countries around the world. And then there are others who, because of their situations, say they're Christians within a Muslim country or some countries that don't have very good educational systems, have decided to homeschool. So they've done some investigations on their own, and they themselves have pursued curriculum providers and have even come to the United States and attended homeschool conferences like Chia and like Leah and other groups, and you know, Mache and others that have been really open to hosting as well as sort of discipling, as if you would say that, other nations. You know, the whole Matthew passage where it says talk about discipling nations. These families are out there discipling their kids in other nations, and we in turn are discipling them on how to home educate theirs. So what I begin to see is there's hybrids out there. It wouldn't be the pure sense of home education as we would call it here, but overseas they have cluster groups, they have schools that they say homeschool, you know. And so we're kind of helping them out with the semantics there, Kevin, of that. That's not really home education. Home education is when the parents themselves are involved in the holistic education, spiritually as well as educationally, in their children's lives and raising up the character that they are godly. And so it's not about setting up a curriculum-based school someplace where they have 10 or 15 families. Yeah. So for some, we're trying to guide them, Kevin, to say, well, in the morning, okay, a few hours you do that, but, you know, in the afternoons, really spend time with the kids. Spend time with your children. Invest in them. That's where the rubber meets the road, where God really shows up when it comes to home education.
And if you look at the history of education around the world, I think what you're going to find, Kay, is that all of the compulsory attendance laws and all of the public schools that were started in Europe in the 1820s and 30s and 40s and America as well were exported to Africa, to Asia, and anybody who wanted to have a great nation, everybody knew you had to have these large institutions. You had to send your kids off to these large institutions. And that was perceived as a Western perspective on education. It was even, I think, perceived as a Christian perspective on education. But when you know, missionaries went out in the 1800s and 1900s, as you know, boarding schools was pretty much what you did. You dumped your kids into the boarding schools. And I had a conversation with Dr. James Dobson on this very issue maybe 10 years ago. And Dr. Dobson said that boarding school is one of the worst ideas, you know, Christians ever came up with, especially in terms of fragmenting the family and breaking up some important parent-child relationships. And that's what was going on in the mission field. So I think, you know, we're seeing transitions now, aren't we? I mean, you saw boarding schools active through the 70s and 80s and even partway through the 90s. I think we're turning from that now, aren't we? I mean, you've been to Asia. You've seen what missionaries are doing. You're seeing what some of the indigenous folks are doing in some of these countries. They're beginning to see that this institutional approach may not be the best.
That's correct. And not only you're talking about the missionaries going, sending them off to missionary schools or boarding schools in different continents. I've been to over 100 countries now in my career doing humanitarian work and working in the missions world. And Julie and I have seen how the missionary kids, they're starting to set up homeschool clusters now because many of the families will live in certain cities together. So you have 2 or 3 families coming together. And so that reminds me of a story in China. I'm working with a number of missionaries there that actually work with folks in a neighboring country, which I can't describe specifically, and they actually come out and they get homeschool training so that they can go back into that country and do homeschooling because they're involved in humanitarian activities, and they don't have very good school system or if at all any access to any in that country.
Sure.
So it's interesting that we're seeing this. But on a national movement standpoint, we're beginning to see where the cream is rising to the top. Those who really, from a DNA homeschool education value system, they are all about parents being engaged in education, not about sending them to some kind of cluster group or some kind of, satellite school or something like that they've kind of set up, centered around some kind of curriculum.
Now, Kay, I understand that this is happening in Japan. I've heard it's happening in South Korea as well. You've been to Indonesia, other nations in Asia. Can you give us any anecdotals? Are there any workshops, seminars, conferences, any homeschoolers doing the work in places like Indonesia, other places besides Japan?
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned this. I just was talking to my friend Edric Mendoza. And Edric has what's called a master's homeschool in the Philippines. His father has one of the largest churches, largest churches in the country, I believe in Manila, and it's about 30,000 people in this church in downtown Manila. And what they began to see was the errant ways of the public school system, and also that the fact that the schools weren't that good educationally as well.
Right.
So they began to homeschool, and what they do is they have... they teach the parents, they disciple the parents in small groups, and they in turn, and they have these enrichment classes for the kids as well throughout the week. So it is, from the purest sense of home education, compared to, say, what we see as home education here in the United States, they're doing a fantastic job. And what he does is he does a national conference now once a year where he brings together, I believe, close to about 600 to 1,000 parents. And that's pretty big, and they're beginning to see them excel educationally, but more importantly, their love for Jesus, their passion for the gospel, and also how they're going out and becoming missionaries and becoming professionals, transforming the culture from within through these different sectors.
Yes, and Kim, as you know, Kay, we want to see that happen. We want to see our children equipped and the generational vision passed on so that they'll get out there and make an impact, so that they are more equipped and more prepared rather than consumed and eaten up by the culture. They're prepared to go out there and make an impact for Christ and hopefully change cultures as well. So that's happening here in America. We see that here and there among some homeschool families in this country. But what you're saying is we're seeing an international effect here.
That's right. Because we don't want to be world changed. We want to become world changers.
Yeah.
And so how are we going to be doing that is starting them at a very young age, discipling them, home educating them, and then letting them have a spiritual impartation by the power of the Holy Spirit to arise above situations, to move prophetically within society and overcoming situations, and not only becoming overcomers, but also more than conquerors through Jesus.
Okay, I think what's happening right now is we are reconfiguring the way we do ministry. You know, we're reconfiguring the way we do church. And I think what's happening is it's turning into more of a 724 discipleship concept. And I know that's on your heart as well, because you incorporate that into your life. I mean, not just with your kids, but you have internship programs too.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like as you do, Kevin. I mean, what we've done is Julie and I have a vision for home discipleship and home education. So it's all about not only our own children, but also those people that come into our lives, because it's all about relationships. You know, they have that saying that it's not what you know gets into heaven, it's who you know.
Yeah.
But more importantly, here on earth in the kingdom of God, it's about discipling up the next generation to go further and farther than us. And so we've gotten to the point now at Generation of Virtue, we have close to 10 people who are interning with us. They live by faith, and they not only and they work full-time for the ministry, and they live by faith. We don't support them financially. We give them housing. We feed them. We take them on ministry trips, even overseas. And God is just raising them up to be powerful leaders in the whole purity movement, but then also leaders in their own right, wherever God calls them.
And you've been doing that for many years. I mean, I think you were doing this before I started doing it. I started like 4 or 5 years ago, but you've been mentoring young ladies and some young men over 7, 8, 10 years?
Yeah, over 10 years now.
Okay.
And even before that, when Julie and I were involved with InterVarsity, and
right.
And then, when we planted 2 churches, the Lord called us, as you've planted church as well, we just disciple people. We love having them into our homes. In fact, it got to the point, Kevin, which is kind of a funny story, and you know how it is here in Colorado, We had close to about 14 people living in our home, and Julie and I were saying, Lord, you know, this is getting a little hectic. You know, we're elbows and knees to people in here, and I feed 17 people every night now at my home.
Incredible. Wow. I thought I was doing something with, I think we got, what, 8, 7, 15, 15 or 16, I think, we get at our table, especially on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Now, the rest of the days, we allow, you know, some of the guys to come in and stay at the house, and sometimes we're not even sure who's staying here. You know, I got to go downstairs and kind of walk through the bedrooms one more time and count noses, figure out who's here so we can incorporate them into family worship. You know, that's part of it. We want to make sure we're bringing them into the daily worship and the daily teaching as well. Is that what you do?
Yes. In fact, every morning we'll have a time when the whole family and the interns, both male and female, will all come together and we will, you know, listen to the Word of God. We'll worship together. We'll share what the Lord's been speaking to us about. Then we'll pray for one another so that we set the day off with a plumb line according to what the Holy Spirit wants us to do that day. And then we go off. We have an office now in a home across the street from where we live here in the Black Forest, here in Colorado. And the Lord has opened up another home where we have our interns, all our female interns living over there, and they have offices there as well. And then our male interns is being housed over at a buddy's house just up the street.
Okay, yeah. I figured there was a separation there. We keep the guys downstairs. We have a nice 7,400 square foot house, and they're down here. They get the 37 down here, and they do it. They do a great job down here with our ministry too, because we're doing similar to what you're doing. We intern them, so that means that they're doing the work. In fact, we got Wynn Robbins right here working the cameras in the studio right now. So you know, we're constantly working these guys, and yet, you know, I think this is the future. You think about higher education here, Kay. You know, higher education, its days are numbered. The brick and mortar thing, it's going away. I mean, we're reading this in the Wall Street Journal just about every other day now. they're saying you don't spend your $38,000 on a brick and mortar college education and assume somehow you're going to get a job at the end. We've got to mentor these folks into the macro economy or the macro ministry picture. If they're going to be ready to go by the time they're 22, 24, 26 years old, they've really got to get some mentorship to get them off the ground and doing their own business or ministry. I mean, this is vitally important, I think, for the survival of our future young people, if they're going to survive in the macroeconomy, because it's not getting any easier.
That's right. And they need to be able to have the entrepreneurial spirit that I believe the nation was built upon, that I believe there's a DNA within the nation that we have been given. And I see this around the world. When people look at us Americans, they see that we are entrepreneurial, we innovate, we start things new, we are creative, and we are prophetic in what God calls us to do in a business as well as spiritually. And so we are really the innovators of the world, and that's what we really need to reignite and just pour into our young people for that. Now, Kevin, I want to just share one challenge with your listeners.
Yeah.
Is for these families, because you and I, you know, we talk the same music when it comes to this, is really the families, the men and women, the families, the moms and dads and the children, need to really pray and ask God if there is a young man or young woman that they can bring into their home and begin discipling and raising up, especially because what I'm seeing is single moms. You know, one-third of all homes are single parents right now, and they need discipleship.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not only single moms, but single dads as well out there. And you know, you need to have a way of being able to disciple and raise up these kids.
Just got a call from a single mom this morning. She said, I wanted to move to an apartment right around the corner from you so my son can be part of this thing. This is vitally important. In fact, I think is the most important thing message that we're taking right now to not just this country, but countries around the world. We've got to get back to a character-focused, relationship-based, discipleship-modeled, mentorship, internship, call it what you want, but it's got to be more intensive and intentional. We're not going to survive otherwise. I think you have the sense as well, don't you?
Absolutely. Let me just share with James 1:27 passage. James 1:27 in the Amplified Version says, true religion, undefiled before the Father, is ministering to widows and orphans in their distress and remaining unstained from the world. And James 1:27 has become the life verse for both Julie and I. I do the widows and orphans part with humanitarian services that we have, our humanitarian aid philanthropy that we have in our venture capital fund that we've started. But then Julie does the you know, remaining unstained from the world with generations of virtue. And so we sort of holistically live out that passage. And I just want to share that, you know, anybody can get involved. I mean, anybody can get involved with, like you said, single parents around the corner, or someone in the church where there's maybe a young man that needs some time with a dad figure, or a mom, you know, with a mom, you know, who's a godly woman, you know, or a young gal that needs a, you know, godly mom out there, or it could be them, you know, getting involved in some kind of purity lessons, or finding out, you know, studying the Word of God together and search out the Scriptures on holiness. But everybody can get involved in something like that. So I just want to encourage people to get into the Word, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to them Scriptures, and I believe that God is going to just really bless them.
What happens with these 8 to 10 interns? Are you traveling around the world with these people?
Yes, we are. Well, if you can imagine, we cash in close to 1 million air miles. People donate and also seed into our ministry financially as well. They give us funds to take everybody. We take all of them overseas. We take all of our children as well. Last year we took 14 people, and we used over 1 million Marriott points from the hotel, and we were able to stay at hotels. But then people open up their homes. One church in Indonesia gave us four condominiums for about 3 weeks while we minister there to base ourselves out of. So God provides every single time. And you know, that's an encouragement. I believe that's an impartation of faith. It's a testimony of God's love for us. That as parents and families move out together doing mission activities, like I've seen you do, Kevin, so many times, like what you're going to be doing here in Mexico coming up, God protects, God provides, and God just continues to pour out His lavish love on us as we raised by faith.
Okay, last question. How do you balance it all? I mean, how's your relationship with your daughters? At the same time, you're doing this, you're doing that. You've got the widow orphan thing. You've got the international aid. You've got the mentorships, the internships. You've got all these things happening. How's the relationship with your own children? And does it? I mean, is it nurtured? Is it feeding off of the other components here?
Well, a couple things. One is, as dads, you have to make time and structure the time, because men are very, you know, very, very, you know, segmented from that standpoint. You know, they like compartments, right?
Yeah.
I make dates with my girls.
Okay.
So every week I try to make those dates. Mm-hmm. The other is I always spend time with them, praying with them, being there for dinner for them.
Yeah.
Luckily, I own companies where I can work out of my home or, you know, but I always try to be very intentional. And when I travel, we go together.
Yeah.
You know, so I just got back from New York where we spent 2 months at our property up there together as a family. When we go to Asia together, I engage them within the ministry itself as well. And as they get older, I will take them with me on mission trips where it's safe, you know, like to safer countries per se. I'm not going to take them to North Korea when I go in there, or China.
And Kay, I think integrating your family into your activities is so very, very important. I mean, ironically, you know, we took the break in between the two segments. You remember, I was upstairs hugging my daughters. You know, I'm just thinking, you know, I had the opportunity to run upstairs, gave Emily a quick hug and gave Rebecca a hug. And I love you girls. And came back down and we did the second segment. You know, so I think it's possible. I think you can do this. The neat thing is that you can integrate them into it. And I think that's the entrepreneurial aspect of what we're doing. We're trying to reconstruct what we call the family economies.
And the key here, too, Kevin, is to see within the scope of your children. Because each one is unique in the eyes of God. And God had created them very uniquely. Is to come alongside, see what the Holy Spirit is doing in their lives, and then nurturing that and releasing each one of them. And most importantly is praying every night. Julie and I have not failed in our entire marriage. Every night we have prayed together. Julie and I have prayed together for our children. And you know what? We pray for their spouses.
Yeah.
We pray that God will raise up godly men for them that will serve, obey, and love God forever.
Wow.
I mean, that's kind of our heart cry for them.
Amen.
And so we're praying that prayer. And, you know, as sort of the guardian of my daughters, I'm going to make sure that happens.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, Kay Hiramina, and let me encourage you to check out the Generations of Virtue Ministry online today. That's Generations of Virtue Ministry. Kay, thanks so much for joining us in Generations, man. It's been great.
It's been an honor, brother.
And folks, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. As we talk about bringing truth and relationships back to a lost and lonely world, we bring in truth in the womb of relationships, and we call it discipleship. And that's what we're trying to reconstruct within the context of the family, and of course the church, and the wider opportunities we have to disciple and to mentor. This, friends, is the new strategy, and it's not a new strategy. It goes all the way back to what Jesus was doing, 724s, during the 3 years he was in ministry with his disciples right here on planet Earth. Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.